But before we begin, I want you to write another couple of verses down to encourage you. Mentioned this morning, Psalm 55, verse 22, and Psalm 57, verse 7. So Psalm 55, 22, and Psalm 57, verse 7. 55, 22 says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you." Oh, wait a minute. "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never allow the righteous to be moved." That's powerful. I want you to cast your burden upon the Lord. He wants you, actually, He wants you to. You have a burden? Any burden at all? Any burden that's sitting there, any burden that's there, have you already done it? You must have already done it. Cast your burden, anything that concerns you, anything that concerns you at all, whether you're 10, 15, 20, or 30, or 40, 50, 70, cast your burden upon the Lord. Amen? I'm going to cast my burden upon the Lord. Amen. You know what? You don't get to really decide what your burden is. See, the Scripture talks about that, especially in Isaiah and some of the prophets, it talks about how the burden of the Lord. Talked about the burden of the Lord. The burden of the Lord came upon you. And so you take that burden of the Lord, but when he gives you a burden, then you cast it off on Him. Okay? When He gives you a burden, you cast it off on Him immediately. That's the test. When Abraham had a burden, I got to sacrifice my son. He didn't realize that God was going to meet the need, did he? Thank God he did. God said, "Wait a minute. See, that boy isn't going to save, but my boy will." So God took the burden. When He gives you a burden, what He wants you to do is give it to Him. When a burden comes upon you, what He wants you to do is immediately give it to Him. He doesn't want you to carry it around for a month. He doesn't want you to carry it around for a year. As soon as you sense that burden, He wants you to put it on Him, cast it on to Him. Amen? How many know Jesus took your burden? How many know Jesus took your sin? How far could you have carried that and made any difference? Not a bit. Amen. Could you have helped yourself at all? Absolutely not. That's why the law is not to make you righteous. The law is only to show you that you can't do what God wants done. He said, "I'm going to do it." So cast your burden. That's why we're looking at Psalm 119. But here again, Psalm 55, verse 22 says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you." It's as if you had a brick tied to you, a concrete brick tied to your leg, and you're in the water. Where are you going to go? To the bottom. He said, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He'll buoy you up. He'll hold you up. You'll be floating. You'll be carrying on to trust Him." Amen. And then finally, "He shall never allow the righteous to be moved." He shall never allow the righteous. Who's the righteous? Say me. Don't think. Just say me. Say a lot of people, "Well..." It's like the Scripture over there in 1 Corinthians where He says, "Examine yourself, you know, to see if... Let a man first examine himself, lest you eat and drink unworthily." What's unworthily? That would be to believe that it was up to you and not up to the promise of Christ. Amen? Eating and drinking unworthily is talking about the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. He's talking about eating and drinking of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. If anything, you qualify. You're worthy of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus because you've sinned. So you take that body and that blood and you believe and you receive His promise. Amen? So here, He says, He shall never allow the righteous to be moved. He shall never allow. So you're walking in righteousness. You are the righteousness of God. He shall never allow the righteous to be moved. Now, if you're being moved today, you're something wrong with your believer. Amen? There's something wrong with your believer if you're being moved by your burden. If you're being moved by your burden, there's something wrong with your the fact that because you have been made righteous already. So that's why we trust Him. That's why we trust His promise. That's why we trust His word. You got to take His word. You can't make a decision to help yourself by trying to improve. If you see a difficulty or see a problem, you cast that burden upon Him. Amen. I'm going to cast my burden upon Him. Then this is not the message. It's just for fun. All right. And then look over at. Now he said he shall never allow the righteous to be moved. Turn right, look over a couple of pages or so to Psalm 57, verse 7. David says, "My heart is fixed." Everybody say that. My heart is fixed.
My heart is fixed.
Oh God, my heart is fixed. Say it again.
My heart is fixed.
He's reading it because he said it twice. You could say it twice. I will sing and give praise. I will sing and give praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I'm going to sing and give praise because my heart is fixed. It's done. It's solid. It's immovable. My heart is fixed. I can't be moved. There's a song that says that, a hymn that says that. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Can you say that? I shall not be moved. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. What's the result of your heart being fixed? I will sing and give praise. I will sing and give praise. So therefore, I know my heart is fixed. So therefore, what am I going to do? I'm going to start giving. God, thank you that I love you. Thank you that my heart is fixed. Here's a burden that I've just cast upon you. I'm going to sing and give praise. Hallelujah. 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 You've got to learn how to say hallelujah. Well, it's just more than I can do. No, you could praise. You could say hallelujah. Amen. If Bobby can do it, you can do it. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. That's good. He's turning really red. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, if Nick could do it, you could do it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If Ian can do it, I mean, you know, anybody could do it. Praise the Lord. Okay, did you write those down? Psalm 55, 22, and Psalm 57, 7. Start using those this week. It's like a new wrench. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you today for your word, and thank you for the power of it. Thank you that the glory of God is among us to show us your truth and show us how your truth transforms us and changes us and causes us to walk in joy unspeakable and full of glory. So, Father, today as we open the Scriptures to Psalm 119, we thank you, Lord God, that your word is effectual, that you, in fact, exalted your word above your name because it's your word that declares your name. So we only know about your name because of your word. So we give you glory. We give you praise. And we thank you. We ask you to minister to us by your Spirit today so that we could be daily walking in your presence and in the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 41. Of course, you know, we've talked about it. It's 176 verses long. We're not going to get to that many today. We'll just do about eight. It's divided up into eight verse increments. Every word, every verse has a reference to the Word of God. Must be important. It's an odd psalm because it's the meter and the rhythm and the way it is designed. It's like David took all of his, somebody took all of David's journal and just began to just ran it all together. I'm sure David had no idea this thing was going to be published. Psalm 41, or verse 41 says, "Let your mercies come also to me," or "also come also to me." Let your mercies. You know, that would be like you opening your door and letting Jesus in. Some folks, like Thad here, he's not letting the mercies come to him. Amen? He's not letting the mercies come. Robert's son is not letting, currently not letting the mercies come to him. Now, the Holy Spirit has given him opportunities. And the Holy Spirit has various places. Good, some places, some appearing not so good. Some places are not bad, just because of where God left you for a minute. Amen? That's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know, you can't fix everything and you can't fix everybody. Amen? Somebody's going to have to say, "Let your mercies come to me." Every one of us has to let the mercy of God come to me. You can't do it for somebody else. You can pray for somebody else. But you can't let it come to somebody else. That person has to say amen to it. Amen? So, "Let your mercies come also to me." Because it's a promise. And if it's a promise, you're either going to receive it or you're going to reject it. And that's what the prodigal does. He goes off and says, "Well, I think I can manage on my own." And that's what religion does. It wants you to manage on your own. Religion's one of the biggest deceivers because it's as if you're going to follow God and find God and be delivered without God. Isn't that the silliest thing you ever heard? Is that you could be delivered without the power of God. I'm going to get myself delivered and then I'll come see God. Well, that's silly. That's why God sent Jesus. That's why God provided a sacrifice lamb for Abraham on the top of the mountain. He said, wait. What you're fixing to do is not going to do the job. You're going to kill Isaac. I know I told you to, but you're going to kill Isaac. That actually is not going to do the job. What's going to do the job is me. I'm going to do it. So let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, even your salvation according to your what? Word. According to your word. So his mercies are going to come to me. How am I going to recognize it? How am I going to know it? It's going to come according to his word. His mercies are going to come to me and it's going to be according to his word. It's going to be according to his promise. See, now if you look at John, 1 John 1:19, 1:9, he said, "Receive that forgiveness. Receive the forgiveness that God has provided. If any man sin, let him come to me. Confess his sin." Just confess it. Just say, "Yeah, I did it." "And I will cleanse him. Forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." And cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what God does. He's more than enough. Amen. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. It's like, "Well, here's all I need." No, you need more than that. So a prodigal son comes home and says, "Yeah, treat me as one of your hired servants. I'll just clean the barn out." And what did the father say? No. The father said, no. He said, "Put the ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet, put a robe on his hand, kill the fatted calf. My son is come home. He was dead, but now he's alive." Amen. That's you. Even when you're having a birthday this week. Praise the Lord. Amen. Might be today. I don't know. No. You want me to keep trying to see if I get it right, what day it is? Amen. Because you can thank God every day. Everybody's thankful they had a birthday this year, aren't you? You know what the alternative is? My dad is not going to have a birthday this year. He had one right before he went home last year. Right? Amen. You always want to have a birthday. Well, I don't like people to celebrate my birthday. Sure you do. You like people to celebrate your birthday. You're glad to be here, aren't you? Amen. Oh, but God said He's going to forgive you. He said He has already forgiven you. He said, confess your sin. What He means by that is that receive my forgiveness. Acknowledge the fact that you've sinned and that you qualify, and then receive the promise. Let your mercies also come also to me. Even your salvation. His mercy is what? It's your salvation. It's your life. His mercy is your life. And it's according to your word. It's according to your word. So we take His word. Amen? Every word. We live by every word that is continually, constantly proceeding out of the mouth of God. Every morning. Amen? Every morning. When does it say His mercies? Let your mercies come to me. His mercies are new how often? Every week? On your birthday maybe once a year? No, every morning. His mercies are new every morning. So you want to remember to every morning, remember and take His mercy. Receive some mercy. It's like breakfast. Amen. Amen. Get your bowl of mercy. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Don't forget it. Don't forsake it. It's the most important meal of the day. Right? Breakfast. Get forgiven. Don't forget to get forgiven. Amen? Well, I don't know if I need it this morning. Well, no. Just, you need it. You need it. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 42, it says, looked at it, it says, so shall I, okay, so means, coming off of the last verse means that in that way, from verse 1, here's what comes with verse 2. Verse 1 is required to get to verse 2. It says, so shall I have wherewith, something, I'll have where a tool, or wherewithal, something, to answer him that reproaches me. What's a reproach? Anybody know? Janet knows. Not because she misbehaved or anything, but Robert?
Somebody accusing you of something.
Somebody accusing you of something.
You're not a Christian.
Or putting, maybe shaming you. Put shame. Attempting to put a shame on you. A reproach, a bad mark to make you look, you know, look bad, pathetic, unloving, unlovely, unworthy. Amen? A reproach really is to make you unworthy. That's what a reproach is. It's something put on you to show that you are unworthy. He says, so once I have received your mercy, your salvation, according to your word, then I have something to answer that one who reproaches me. What that is that you'll never be ashamed. He that receives him will never be ashamed.
Well, I was feeling kind of ashamed today.
You know, it's because of what somebody said about you. Forget what they said about you, because what God says about you is trumps anything anybody else says about you, even though it's true. It's not that whatever they said wasn't true. In other words, you stink or you're ugly or you know, something, or you misbehaved or you're a bad mom or dad or you did something wrong or evil. It's not that that wasn't true. It's that they're trying to put the value of that on you, and that doesn't fit. See, you are no longer eligible for reproach because you're in Christ. You're in Him. What am I preaching today? Is that God has already placed His favor and His mercy upon you, and His command is for you to receive it, not for anything else, anybody to be able to put anything else upon you, or for you to even receive something from anybody who's not God. Huh? In other words, the thing that God has for you is the thing you receive. Well, if anybody else wants to put anything on you, you refuse it. I refuse it. I'll not receive any condemnation or any reproach because God has said I belong to Him. And He said, I've received His mercy according to His salvation, according to His word. So in that way, now I have something to answer Him that reproaches me. So I want you this morning to understand that you have an answer. You have an answer to any thought that the enemy would come against you with. Many times it's not a person. It's just you. It's just you trying to wake up in the morning and the enemy comes at you with some kind of accusation. He said, no, that's not, no, huh, no, that doesn't belong to me. I've been redeemed from that. I've been redeemed from that. Even though you observed it, took a picture of it, it doesn't apply to me because I'm forgiven. And you say, Father, show me that one. Show me what you want to show me this morning. Show me so that I'm just going to receive it. I'm going to receive salvation according to your word. And that reproach doesn't belong to me. You know, you can get that in school. You know, that's what bullying's all about, you know, in the school, is that somebody's going to try to put something on you, and that's why these kids end up committing suicide, is because they believe it. They receive a bad report. They receive an evil report, and they put it on themselves, rather than receiving the Word of God. As a young person, you know, I'll talk to you know, Grant and Brenna this morning, is that you have something that many people don't have. You have an ability to tell somebody about Jesus and that what Jesus has done for you, He did it for free. And He loves you. And whatever anybody else puts on you is not true. Even though it looks true, even though you think it might be true, see, you can save somebody. It's true for somebody, all those of you who work with somebody. There's some people who just get down and depressed because they believe the lie about themselves. Amen? They believe the lie about themselves. That's true of a church member who's been in this church for many, many years. I'm not thinking about anybody in particular. I'm just saying, somebody who can have been under the Word of God and under the truth for many years, and they just looking for one person. It can't be me. It can't be Pastor Jim or Danny. It's going to have to be Nick. It's going to have to be Oboe. It's going to have to be Clay. And somebody to tell them the truth and set them free. That's why we meet together. We don't meet together just so we can all sit forward and hear Pastor so-and-so. That's not why we meet. We meet so we can love one another. So we can meet needs. Amen? That's a burden. That's like we talked about the burden. God may put a burden on you for somebody across the aisle. Don't think they don't need that. Well, they heard the message. Don't think that. No. Get up and go over there and give them a hug. Tell them the Lord sent you. The Lord sent me over here to encourage you and build you up. Tell me what your burden is, and I'm going to resolve you of your burden this morning. Amen? Isn't that it? Isn't that true? Hallelujah. Boy, everybody's a minister of the Holy Spirit. That's so good. So shall I, because I've received your mercy, myself. I myself have received your mercy, according to your salvation, according to your word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in your word. The salvation's according to your word, and my reproach is gone because of his word. My reproach is gone because I have trusted in your word. I've trusted in your word. Amen. Well, is that just a Bible verse here, Bible verse there? No, it's the whole thing. It's the whole thing. What's the word of God? I love you, and I've delivered you from all of your sin. And every reproach and everything that has separated you from me, I've delivered you and you are in my presence and I walk with you and you walk with me. That's the Word of God. But as we read and allow the Word of God to become our meditation, that's how you understand. That's how you receive, is letting the Word of God become your meditation. Because what is your meditation? What is your meditation? Your meditation is everything in this world. Isn't that right? I mean, we got 200 channels of meditation. You got the Academy Awards and every version of awards of every movie that was ever done. You have all these voices, the Scripture says. There's so many voices in this world, and none of them is without significance. But you've got to hear the one. the trumpet, the horn, the sound of the Lord. Because there are many voices. There's so many voices that will distract you and distract your friends and distract your co-workers. Your first testimony is joy unspeakable and full of glory, isn't it? What's wrong with you? How can you possibly have joy? I've seen some of the things that have happened to you. I've seen some of that. Doesn't mean you don't tell people that something happened or this happened. What happens is the response that you have. The response that you have is that you've trusted God. I trust Him. Amen. We've had a few bumps and bruises. We've had a few. But God is with me. God's with my children. I'm not worried because I trust Him. Because His Word said I'm forgiven. And His Word said I'm filled with His Spirit. Now listen. For I trust in your Word. Verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your judgments. Don't let the word of truth be taken out of my mouth. Don't let it be replaced with something else. Have you ever noticed your words may be replaced by the words of this world? Who's like we talked about this morning with Robert's son Thad, and he's going to believe the report of the Lord. Whose report are you going to believe, Isaiah says? We will believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And it doesn't matter whether it's what did Donald Trump do this week, or what did Putin do this week, or what did Congress do this week, what did the school board do this week, what my husband, what my wife, what my children, what event may have taken place this, whose report are you going to believe? God said, I've got it. I've got that handle. Don't you sweat that. I've got that handle. Oh, but it looks bad. No, I've got that handle. Well, I just don't know if I'm ever going to get this. No, I've got that handle too. Amen? You know, even if you don't think you're going to get God's Word and get His progress and His program, that He says, it's okay, I've got that. See, people want to find something that God can't do. You ever notice that? You ever had an argument with somebody about God's Word and God's will? And you know, what do they want to do? They want to find some reason that God can't do it. That God can't finish it, or He can't fix it, or He can't make it happen. You know what, Cassie? He's doing it. He's already done it. And He's making it happen in you. Are you happy about that? I knew that. See, you're a safe one. I need to find somebody who's dangerous, who says, no, I don't believe it at all. I just don't believe it. But I can't find anybody here like that, I don't think. Amen. Brother, if I can't remember your name 10 times, tell me what it is. Yeah.
Jeremiah?
Why can't I remember Jeremiah? What is that? I didn't even read my Bible. You know God can take care of everything that concerns you.
Whoa. I talked to Bob about this when we were here, and here you are talking about it, and Jim does the same thing.
It's crazy.
You get bogged down by the world.
Yeah.
You guys just jump right in, and a lot of you know what it's burning me, and just handle it.
Woo! Hallelujah. Isn't that crazy? God is just, he knows your number, and He calls it. Amen. You think? I think God loves it. I mean, He remembers His name. Oh, hallelujah. Take not the word out of my mouth. See, you want to put a word in your mouth that's just junk. Amen? It's like those words that you have to fast forward in the movies. You say, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. Don't those people have a vocabulary? You know? It's like, dear Lord. Yeah, it's just, you know. No, we don't listen to those. Man, they're pervasive. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Lord, let your word be in my mouth. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So it's always there. It's always coming out. There's never an end to it. Amen? It's like God when He's speaking. He never stops speaking. He's consistently speaking, constantly speaking. So take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your judgments. I've hoped in your decisions, your promises. Those things which you declared, those are the things that I trust. In fact, I'll go ahead and say them. You remember what he says over in Joshua? He said, this book of the law, I don't know if I want that. No, the law can't be moved. It's fixed. Well, this is moved. How about this one? Yeah, that's better. Maybe I'll shake Robert. Because he can't be moved. Amen. He's better than a pew. No, I cannot be moved. I can't be moved. His word cannot come out of my mouth. This book of the law, which cannot be moved, shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. What does prosperous and good success mean? Is you're going to be standing right next to the Father. You'd be standing right next to Jesus. Nothing can move you. Right? Nothing can move me. Then thou shalt, when you're standing right next to God and His Word and believing in His promise, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Whew. Hallelujah. Now, let's look over here real quick at Psalm 51. A lot of y'all know that one. I could sing that one. Every time we took the offering in the Lutheran church, that's what we sang. I don't know, it's a good song for money, I guess. You know? Creating me a clean heart. I guess that what that means is don't be stingy. All right, now this is after David had... You know, I like this one because at the very beginning of it, you know, in the italics, it describes what the psalm is. It says, to the chief musician. So the chief musician's getting to talk about this. A psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. I mean, if you wanted to know what this psalm was about, there it is. I just think it's great. You know, it kind of gives the details of, here's the song we're going to sing in church today. Is about when David came to Nathan the prophet came to him and said, "Thou art the man." And David had come to the Lord, and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies." That's the mercies that you want to come to you. Let these mercies come to me. You know the same mercies that saved David after he confessed, after he was. He didn't really confess. He was actually outed, by Nathan the prophet. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. This is Psalm 51. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. This is 1 John 1:9, by the way. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. See? That's that salvation that he's talking about in verse 41. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. That righteousness in the inward. He's putting his righteousness in your inward parts. And in the hidden part, you shall make me to know wisdom. That's the transformation that's taken place, isn't it? Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Anybody know what hyssop is? Hyssop is that branch. It's a with fuzzy things on the end of it. And what they did, they would... At the Passover, that's what they used to put the blood on the lint, on the doorpost and the door and the top of the door. Is they would use it like a paintbrush, and they put it in the bowl of the blood of the lamb, And then they slapped them to the left, to the right, and up. And the blood would drip down to the bottom of the doorway. And what shape do you have there? You have the shape of the cross. And they took that paintbrush, that hyssop. That hyssop shows the application of the blood, doesn't it? And he said, when you put on the blood, the angel of death will pass over. He'll pass over you. That's the word Passover. That's why the Jews celebrate the Passover, is deliverance from sin. Amen. Okay, but look back here in verse 7, chapter 51. So purge me with hyssop and I will be clean. What? Purge me with hyssop and I will behave myself from now on. That's not what David said. He said, purge me with hyssop and I will be clean. Purge me with your blood and I will be clean. And I'll be whiter than, not only that, I'll be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. You know, you want to hear joy and gladness, but you're going to hear it once you receive the mercy. Amen? When you receive mercy, you're going to hear joy and gladness. That the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Now here it is. Create in me, verse 10, a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and listen, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Take not your... Who reveals the Word? Who reveals the Word? The Holy Spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Take not your Word utterly out of my mouth. Like we had over in verse 43 in chapter 1 and Psalm 119. Remember what he said. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. He said, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. That's your prayer. That's your cry. Don't take your Holy Spirit. Don't let the Holy Spirit be taken from me. He's the one who reveals to me the promise. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach others, teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. You know, once you've received mercy, all of a sudden you become a vessel of the righteousness and the love of God. To have somebody, you're not a vessel of condemnation to skewer somebody else. You are in fact a vessel of the same mercy that you have received. Remember the story about the guy who got forgiven the great debt? Then he immediately went out the door and grabbed the little guy who owed him 10 cents, you know, and threw him in prison. I mean, that guy did not receive the gift of God. He did not receive. He did not know his sin. And until you know that you are righteously condemned, you'll never receive the forgiveness of God. See, people, as long as they think they're okay, as long as they think they're good, as long as they think they've done right, then they believe that they don't really need the forgiveness of God, and therefore they don't repent, they don't ask for it. They think they've done okay, when they haven't done okay. How many know you haven't done okay? How many know today you need to let His mercies come to you? Every day, every morning. His mercies are new every morning because I have to have them every morning. That's why He made them available. That's why manna was available every morning. Amen? And who provided? God. God provided manna, sustenance, every morning. Hallelujah. Back over here to 119. Now, so he says, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your judgments. Now, how do you keep that word of God in your mouth? Now, he says, so shall I keep your law continually. Okay, I'm going to keep your law continually as long as your word is continually in my mouth. Remember the word of God? Remember over in Romans chapter 10? He says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So it's in your mouth. He said he's put it in your mouth. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. Now, is that you making a promise? No. That's you recognizing God's capacity. You are recognizing God's capacity that you will be keeping this law forever and ever because of faith. Because of His promise, not because of your capacity. Amen? Your capacity is only His capacity. So when the Word of God is continually in your mouth, so shall you keep His law. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. What it does mean is that you're going to continually be walking in the presence of God and you're rejoicing and you're not afraid. I'm not afraid. Are you afraid? Say, no, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. God loves me and He is in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. And verse 45 says, and, everybody say and. Amen. Don't you love and? And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. As I'm following after, I'm picking them up. I'm meditating upon His word, because I know that's where my life is. Amen? Yes. He says, so shall I keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings. Matthew 10. Jesus told him. He said, you're going to speak before kings. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. The apostles did the same thing. Okay, Paul goes before Festus and goes before Felix and goes before all of the Roman leaders. Because you're from heaven. Moses came before Pharaoh. He's from heaven. Where are you going to go? You're from heaven. How many know you're from heaven? You are from heaven. You are sent from heaven. Amen. You know, you're sent from heaven. To school? Yeah. I'm sent from heaven to school. Amen. Because you're needed. Nobody else can talk to the people that you can talk to. You are in a particular, you could say peculiar position. You're in a peculiar position to speak to the people that you have access to that I can't speak to. Nobody else can speak to them because they don't know me, but they know you. They know your testimony. They know that you fail. They know that you have trouble. They know that you rejoice when trouble comes. They know that you've even failed to rejoice, but they trust you because you're real. And this isn't a go out and do it message. Listen. Okay? This isn't a go out and do it. This is who you are. Do you believe that? Believe who you are. Believe who God made you. Believe what God has done, and He'll do the finished work. Amen. All right. And verse 47, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up to your commandments, which I have loved. These interesting two verses. His commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in your statutes. Quickly. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, as I've mentioned it before, and I just want to reiterate it. This is His Word. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. So you got through the knowledge of God in verse 2 and through the knowledge of God in verse 3. Whereby what? Whereby that knowledge are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature. How many know you're a partaker of the divine nature because you've meditated upon His Word? You've received His Word. You've let His mercies come to you. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Well, thank God for that. And besides all that, there's even more. Giving all diligence. Well, diligence is a good word. Diligence is consistency in what? His Word. In the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge, diligence, what? Diligence in what? What He just talked about. The knowledge of Him and the promises that He gave. So giving all diligence, add to your faith. Well, how do you add to your faith? Diligence in the Word of God. Not diligence to do, but diligence to hear. Diligence to hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing. And that word hearing is continual hearing. Just like the word, every word that comes out, by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. What? Continually coming out of the mouth of God. He's got words continually coming out of His mouth, and you've got ears that are continually hearing. And beside that, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, self-control, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, agape, the love that you don't have, the love that only God has, the love that you don't need anything in return for. You just love because you're a lover, just like Jesus, just like the Father. Now, what is all that? Sounds like fruit to me. If you were to go over to Galatians, you're going to find fruit. You're going to find this exact same list over there in Galatians. And he says, so for if these things be in you and abound, it talks about like fruit that grows, right? Isn't that true? It's like fruit that groweth. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. And the what? And the knowledge. Remember the knowledge we talked about? They make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he that lacks these things is blind. Now if you lack the fruit, is blind, cannot see afar off, and he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So no fruit meaneth you forgot something. No fruit meaneth you forgot something. You forgot who you were. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're changed from glory to glory by looking into His face. James chapter 1, we're looking into the mirror and not being a forgetful hearer, but looking into the mirror, not a natural glass, not our natural face, but the promise of God. Amen. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what do these things? Now be careful on do. If you do these things, you shall never fall. What's the do? Continue in the Word. Continue in His promise. Daily, continuing in His promise. Amen. Hallelujah. How good is that? Pastor Jim, are you waving? Are you preaching with your hand? Or you want to say something? Oh, praise the Lord. He doesn't say amen, he just waves at you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And the rest of that chapter, of course, as I've said before, says we're going to preach these things to you till we're dead. Not till you're dead, till we're dead. You know, and okay, Psalm 119, that's only verse 41 through 48. And, you know, there's a lot more to go, you know. I love it. I don't know about you. I mean, you know, my goodness, you know, you read these things, you can read through them in about 1 minute and you won't get a thing out of it. You need to slow down. Amen? You need to slow down when you read the Scriptures. Say, Lord, show me what that verse is. Amen? Amen. Well, I was blessed today. Hope y'all were. Amen. Hope y'all were. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just worship You and magnify Your name. Thank You for this word, which is Your word, to deliver us, to cast all of our burdens, as Jeremiah said, upon Him. Our burdens, we don't have any burdens. The only burdens we have are the ones that You told us to cast on You. So we do it right now. We just cast them over. You take my hands and just cast that burden over on Him right now. In Jesus' name. Even school burden, work burden, church burden, family burden. We're casting it upon You. In the name of Jesus. And we declare, Lord God, that we have a testimony that nobody else has. To declare Your love and Your mercy, Your goodness, and Your faithfulness to somebody else. Thank You for Thad this morning, Lord God, being delivered right down in Beaumont. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He came to Himself. In Jesus' name, amen.